Hey guys, it's your host here, Diane Augustine, Shutter 16 Magazine president. Thought we'd do a little podcast for all of you. Just wanted to say, you know, a big hi and thanks for all the support that we've been having. If you don't know who we are a international music magazine and we cover all genres of music. We just love music, period. We also have a badass crew of a ton of photographers that you'll see a lot of their work and hopefully you share and like it. We are all over the place. We're in Florida, California, New Jersey. Our home base is Charlotte, North Carolina. We're also overseas in the UK. We have someone out in Tel Aviv. We have someone starting in Australia. You basically can see us anywhere. So music news, anything that you have for us, just send us to info@shutter16.com. And we'll try to get it on the podcast or on the website. Again, this is a new podcast, a new show. You can expect to hear a lot of music news, new releases, indie artists, national artists. We'll have some interview spots and hopefully some awesome new sounds and new tunes that you haven't heard before and you pick up with us. We also are going to be telling you about tours that are coming up and just shows that we think you should be at and maybe like silly little quips because there are tons of artists out there that we just don't get. We love, but we don't get. So yeah, tune in, hope you like it, and you know, share, hit in the comments and let us know if you like it or not and what we should do and any news that you think we should have. Thanks. So here we go, new music this week. Father John Misty has out a new album, God's Favorite Customer. He's an indie folk artist. He's back with a new album, his fourth release actually. He's also known as Joshua Michael Tillman, but also known as Father John Misty and previously Jay Tillman. He's a singer, songwriter, guitarist, drummer, and record producer, and all around stellar human being. His new album, God's Favorite Customer, off of Sub Pop Records, is something you might have expected from him, but still very fresh. His albums are usually stories you can relate to and sometimes cry to, but always spin on repeat. God's Favorite Customer comes out today. He teased his fans with the song Mr. Tillman. Let's take a listen to that. You can get the album from every major outlet, iTunes, Spotify, and of course on the artist's website. Up next is singer-songwriter Ben Howard. He has his new album, his third new album out today, Noonday Dream, out on Universal Island. A really cool part to this is that if you get the vinyl, you get two extra tracks. So let us know how those are. Up next, after this, is the band Ghost. Everybody has seen the band Ghost. If you're familiar with anything to do with Shutter 16, we love to cover these guys. They're interesting live, they're dramatic, they have a theme. It's very story oriented and it has a rabid fan base. So today they have out their album Prequel out on Luma Vista. You've seen us cover pretty much all over the place. We did a really cool press release in New York City. And then after that we covered at the MMR Barbecue 50th birthday bash. And here we are now that all of this led up to today when they have their new album out. We got the album about a week or so ago, and Zek did a really cool review on it. So if you want to hit the website and just search Ghost, you'll see all the really neat coverage that we've been doing about them. And this album is really different from other stuff that they've done. So hopefully everybody enjoys that. The one that I was really interested about talking about is a band named Kitten. Kitten has their Pink Champagne EP out. It's their fifth extended play. The indie rock band are equivalent to the 70s punk post sounds and kind of like another badass band to tune into. Even if you're late to the party, the new single I Did It, which we'll give you a little clip of in a minute, this single just makes me want to get ready. Like big jersey hair, bangs, chunky bangles on my bracelet, slather myself in a jean jacket with as much fringe as I can get on my clothes, and just dance my butt off. So let's tune into that and see if you agree with me. If these indie artists and whatnot are not your type of thing, maybe this one will be. Luke Combs has a new album out on Sony Nashville called This One's For You Too. So apparently, this one is for you too. I'll tip my cowboy hat and then I will jump on yeehaw and into the next segment. We get to do a lot of cool things sometimes. One of the things is a campaign that we do with Reverb Nation. We get to meet all of these really cool bands that we just would never have been introduced to before. During this time, I came across an artist named Krigare. She was very different in the fact that I immediately bonded with her message. And come to find out that she too is a cancer survivor like myself. And through her lyrics is basically how she helped herself heal. So here's a little bit about Kigari before I let you hear her song. Kigari is known for her strong imagery with intense storytelling lyrics. Her electronic-driven melodies, weighted with guitars, give a sense of somatic journey and of emotions, battles, and empowerment. Kigari, previously known as Kennedy Noel, first started in the music industry backing the piano for Kelly Clarkson, the song that you all probably know because of you. She did a performance with her at the Grammy Awards. Since breaking into Nashville pop rock music scene, she has performed at the 2016 National NACA Conference, Evolution Music Festival, and pre-show events for One Direction, Kelly Clarkson, and The Fray. She has a new EP that came out. This was a little while ago, so I'm positive that the EP is a little bit older. She tells about her compelling stories of surviving two cancers by the age of 18. My life has been full of battles these last 2 years. It's been by far the most challenging years, not only as a person, but as an artist. I've had to find my voice again and decide on who I am, coming out of trying times. I'm a warrior. Being a fellow survivor, like I was just talking about, I linked with her immediately. Here's a song. I just adore her, and I hope that you get to too. On to tours, like recent tours that we're really excited about and we can't wait to see and be in the photo pits for. Now, 6 countries and 3 continents later, Lollapalooza is expanding its global family to Stockholm. In 2019, on June 28th and June 29th, you will be able to attend, obviously, if you're up that way. To read more about it, you can go to lolastockholm.com, and please be aware that the website is not in English, but it does have an option for you to turn it to English. The Smashing Pumpkins announced special performance in Homedale, New Jersey on August 2nd, 2018, as part of their 30th anniversary series. You can see more about it on our website. We did a whole write-up about it. We're really excited about the show. The performance is going to be at PNC Bank's Art Center. Fans can expect special guests, a career-spanning set list, never-before-seen production, and more surprises from this momentous performance under the stars. The really rad part of this is indie rock band Metric will be providing support. So regardless if you like Metric or if you like Smashing Pumpkins, there's something to see for everybody. We hope to see everyone there. Next up is Florence and the Machine. They've confirmed a North American leg of their global tour in anticipation of their fourth studio album, Highest Hope. It's coming out June 29th on Republic Records. The band has confirmed a 23-day or 23-city North American fall headlining tour produced by Live Nation. It kicks off on August 5th in Montreal, Quebec, and includes stops at Los Angeles Hollywood Bowl, New York Barclays Center, and more. But the big one that I'm really excited about is they'll be here at the Spectrum Center in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I'm sitting at this moment. And you can bet that I'm going to be front row, screaming my butt off, and hopefully with a camera in my face for that one. I would love to see anyone that's going to come out there or come say hi. Next up, Dave Chappelle and Jon Stewart announced a limited run of shows June 11th to 24th in Boston, Houston, and El Paso will be an interesting mesh of intelligence and quick-witted humor for all to enjoy. Let's see. What else do we have coming up that was kind of interesting? Some I'm sure we'll be talking about in a later part of our segment in the What the F'n News. Christina Aguilera announced her first tour in over a decade. She'll travel across North America this fall. Christina just released a new song, Accelerate, featuring Ty Dolla $ign and 2 Chainz, earlier this month. The first song from her forthcoming and highly anticipated album, Liberation, which is out on June 15th. So we look forward to being at that show too. The biggest and baddest tour announcement lately that it seemed like everyone was buzzing about, no matter what was happening that day. It was trending on Twitter for an entire day and everything like that. The big tour announcement highlight you can read about on our website as well this month was Nine Inch Nails, the Cold and Black and Infinite North American 2018 tour. They did it a bit differently. Fans had to actually go stand in line, and it was the only way to get your tickets. Many dates sold out, and the entire thing was almost a concert in itself. Fans took to social media to complain about long lines, then realized that they actually had to talk to other people because they were kind of near them. It was an entire sea of black. It was really fun to see all the fellow, like, goth nerds and nerdettes and everyone just totally nerding out, having a blast with it. It's what music is all about. They were connecting, even though they didn't know that that was what was going to happen when they won it. They started posting selfies with strangers, singing loudly their favorite Nine Inch Nails song, and the looks of absolute zen on their faces of, you know, all of the fans when they finally had those crisp, tiny little rectangles, aka the tickets, in their hands. It was just priceless. It was something that I, as a music fan and a music journalist, I've been doing this for 20 years now, just seeing that kind of enthusiasm and fun was just something a little bit different. And I have to, you know, hats off to Nine Inch Nails from that. I'm not the hugest Nine Inch Nails fan, but I think that just stuff like that gets the fans in there. Even if you're not a huge fan of them, you still wanted to know what was going on. So well played to Nine Inch Nails. And we look forward to keeping everybody abreast on all things Nine Inch Nails with this tour and anything else that's coming up. Right now, I'm going to take a break. And we're going to let you listen to a song by Ben Howard off of his new album coming out this week. Or actually, it will be today. I keep saying that. It will be today when this goes live. So here we go. If you're still with us, I say thank you. And know that later on in the podcast, we'll be joined by Editor-in-Chief Sheila Walsh and by one of our promotion/photojournalists, David Zeck. Again, you should, if you haven't already, you should go at us on Facebook at Shutter16 Magazine, on Instagram, which we love to use, it's Shutter16 Magazine as well. If you go to Twitter, it's Shutter16. Snapchat, it's Shutter16 Mag. And again, the website is Shutter16.com. So let's see what else we have to talk about. Oh, giveaways. They're always the fun thing. So right now we have a giveaway with the band Friendship, who are going to be playing on 6/5 at the Neighborhood Theater. We're giving away not only tickets to the show, but we're giving away tickets for a meet and greet before the show to meet the band. So make sure to hit our Twitter, our Facebook, or our Instagram to enter. The old school music head in me was really excited to hear that the next band got back together and was doing some new music. So as of today, Mazzy Star has an album coming out named Still, Rhymes of an Hour. The band is set to perform between May 25th and June 16th for the first time in 5 years. Hope Sandoval, lead vocalist, is known for her haunting vocals and emotive treasures that she displays within an album. Mazzy is totally at it again. The elongated notes and buttery piano playing over Sandoval's bellows bring about your feeling some sort of way. We'll just let you decide. I personally am back in love. Well, now that we've talked about tours and shows going on around the world and different things, different indie artists, and where you can find all of our other stuff, let's talk about some of the content that we had to go out in the past couple weeks. We have been really busy over at Cheddar16.com, and I would like to just talk about a few things that we've done. So let's see. Maybe I'll just read you a list, and if you hear anything on this list that you're really interested in seeing, go hit the website. So we threw down with Seven Dust, Memphis Mayfire, Fire from the Gods, and Madam Mayhem at Manchester Music Hall last night in Lexington, which by now would be a couple nights ago, because again, this goes out on Friday. Kesha was denied once again a request to be removed from her contract, so that's music news. Tour announcement, Smashing Pumpkins announced special one-off New Jersey show. New Ghost album, prequel, in the soundtrack for Apocalyptic Times. An editorial on rock stars and reading. You get to see all the really cool things that all the different rock stars and just, you know, basic music people are writing about. And it might be things that you never even heard about or knew existed, you know, so go check that out.
We were out at the Underground to see Bishop Briggs, who played a sold-out show there. Killy did a killer set of images, you can see. Good Morning, Goodbye, Friendship to headline Neighborhood Theater. That's the one we had the ticket giveaway for. We have a playlist that is called Spotify Roulette. Basically, Cindy and our editor-in-chief, Sheila, got together and talked about what type of playlist to do. And they figured, how cool would it be just to open up your playlist and hit random and see all the different things that you can have pushed into one playlist? It worked out pretty well, and I know that I've been bumping it all week. We have a throwback series with Slipknot, The Beginning of My Metal Life, where Cindy talks about how she came to love metal music. I think that many people would be able to relate to that because I find out I fall in love with metal a lot. I'm a metalhead. I look like a soccer mom, which is kind of funny. The dichotomy is wonderful. I fall in love with metal about once a year. Then I fall in love with pop, and then I go to indie. I have a very eclectic taste, but it was really fun to read on why she fell in love with metal. We have festival coverage from Moog Fest, which is always a blast to cover. Shamara was out to that, had some fun with that. We did Under Oath at Lexington in Lexington. We did a preview on Khalid, the Roxy tour for 2018, of course. We have this thing that we do called the Legend Series, and we had two of these actually this past week. Diane got to cover Jackson Browne at NYCB Theater at Westbury. Then we headed on over to MMR's barbecue and 50th birthday bash. It included Jonathan Davis of Korn, Ghost, Alice in Chains, Stone Temple Pilots, The Record Company, and more. After that, we hit back up to Manchester Music Hall and we covered Blackstone Cherry's Family Tree Tour. We put out a Tech N9ne preview for when they were here at the Fillmore, and you can read that to see what the rest of the tour is going to be like. The other Legend series that we got to do was Tony Bennett. We haven't seen Tony Bennett in about a year, and we were granted access to his show again, so it was really cool. Let's see. Next up was the Brevet. We did a preview for them when they were coming to the Evening Muse, and then did a live review when they were at the Evening Muse with a really great gallery from Derek. We covered Post Malone when he played at PNC Music Pavilion a couple nights before he won a Billboard Music Award for the best new rap song for his hit Rockstar. We saw Shinedown and Five Finger Death Punch in Virginia. We covered Ghost at the Capitol Theater. We covered Welcome to Rockville. We did Brandi Carlile at the State Theater in Ithaca. Greta Van Fleet in New Jersey. Jonathan Davis at Irvine Plaza. We did the Asbury Park Music and Film Festival. We did an editorial on Harry Styles. Which was a pretty, it was a pretty cool look at all the different stuff that he's done since One Direction, because, personally myself, I don't like boy bands. So it was really neat to see all the stuff that he had done since then. We did a big preview of Lamb of God, who just has a new album out for Burn the Priest, which was their original band. And they're also out on tour right now with Slayer and Anthrax, so read up on that. We did Pale Waves, their single, Kiss. And then we wrapped that all up in a nice tiny bow and covered all of Carolina Rebellion. Really dope gallery on that one, and just like lots of fun of sights to see that day. So if you want to, hit the website. All of those things I just talked about are there and more. One of the last artists we want to spotlight on this first podcast is Nico Case. She has an album coming out today, and she has a new single that has been out, Curse of the 1-5 Corridor. It's a duet with Mark Langwin, who you might know. He's the former vocalist of Screaming Trees, as well as work with Mad Season and Queens of the Stone Age. The two really work well together, and the pairing leads to an anthemic song that of mystery, suspense, and the frailty of life. I love the offset guitar tones and slow beats that keep you engaged until the very end. Case's upcoming US tour kicks off later this month at Sasquatch Festival in Washington State. I'll stop talking and let you listen. Again, you can pick up all these albums on any major music spot, such as iTunes, Spotify, and of course, all of the artists' websites.
I would sure to be totally blasted by everybody that I work with if I didn't have time to talk about Twit from the Pit. Our hashtag has been around for years now. You can see all the major venues, labels, bands, fans, us, them, it, was, like everyone who goes to a concert that has ever heard about it uses it. It goes to the front of our website. Everyone is going to follow it for the day, as is, if they know you're at a show. It's fun to even watch it, because then if you hit the hashtag, you can just watch everything that's going on at a show, too. It's just anything that has to do with music. It can be a ticket stub. It could be you and your girlfriend getting ready for a show. It could be your road trip to go to a festival. From the festival, behind the scenes, with the band, at a meet and greet. Anything that has to do with music. You got a new album in the mail. You got, you know, you got a new artist coming for you. Anything like that. Just add your hashtag Twit from the Pit on Twitter or Instagram, and it will immediately go to the front of our website. And we can't wait to follow along with everything like that. And we hope to see all your Twit from the Pit soon. Thanks.
Hey.
Hey. All right, everybody. So I decided to invite David Zeck, who I call Zeck, you'll notice, throughout the whole segment, in to talk a little bit about what the fuck in news. There has been a lot of weird stuff going on lately, and I think a lot of exciting things. So, what do you want to talk about first?
Well, there's tons of crazy stuff going on. The Christina Aguilera music video and controversy.
Yeah, so let's touch base on that one. So the controversy is the fact of she's trying to look like she's 20 again, right? Like, what else is going on with that?
She's trying to look like she's 20, and she's 37 now, and she just put out a video that's for her new single called Accelerate, and it's pretty provocative. And people are having a giant fit over it.
Okay, so my stance on that one is I would prefer a woman to not, you know, have a lot of plastic surgery. If they like it, it's on them. But I think in the music industry, people feel a little bit more pressure to do it rather than actually wanting to do it. And I think more people are having the flip out about is because she's a mom and she's doing this. I don't know. When it comes to that.
It's like I understand the controversy to an extent. But at the same time, I think a lot of it is, you know, she's been gone for so many years. And, you know, she doesn't, I feel like people feel like, or people know she doesn't need that.
Right.
You know, like her voice is justice enough. And I think that's what people more want to hear from her now. They're not really interested in 20-year-old Christina.
Right. And also it's the whole pasties, you know, the X's on her nipples and nothing else. And is it honey that's dripping all over her in the video? Is
some that sort of slime.
Slime? That's, how could slime be attractive? Now, is the slime supposed to be representative of a new birth to Christina? Is she coming back out with her? She went into this in her career. She was this, you know, cute little girl that came out, and then she was like this sexy woman that everybody wanted to be around. And then she went through the she did the Christmas album and the cutesy, really, I won't want to say religious like, but she was more wholesome, as maybe that's a better way to say it. She went through her wholesome, nice, you know, she was new to being a mom, very motherly, very sweet and kind, and she wasn't having a lot of drama going on, and that's a little bit different for all the pop divas around at that time. So I think people got in this mindset that she was just this wholesome, you know, artist, that she didn't have a lot of drama, she didn't have a lot of other crap going on, and she didn't have to use her sexuality to sell stuff. She was, because she's highly talented, like out of this world talented vocally. And she just wasn't doing the, you know, Genie in the Bottle was, you know, her original song, obviously. And they tried to sell her kind of like sex, but she was very young. So it was like a weird fine line. And I think now that she's getting older, they're feeling like that they have to sexualize her again, where she really wasn't for a really long time. It went on, you know, she's been on The Voice and all of these other things. And it wasn't about her, you know, flashing skin. It was about her helping other people, you know, learn a talent. So I'm a little confused. If she's already at this super stardom, like, why go down that path? I don't.
Well, that was the thing, you know, when she came out with Genie in a Bottle in the beginning, and even when she was, when she came out with Strip, it was, it seemed more like the industry trying to sell her.
Right.
And then once she did The Voice and she embraced motherhood and everything like that, you would think at this point in time she wouldn't need to do that anymore. The other really little known fact about the song is, and I don't know how much of the album this relates to, but the song is called Accelerate. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the slime has to do with it, but it's co-produced and written by Kanye West.
Okay, so maybe we can go into him next. What's your opinion on Kanye?
I love Kanye's earlier work.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy album, his College Dropout albums. At some point or another, he became really unhinged, probably at the time he married a Kardashian.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can't make sense of the guy. I want to like him, but everything he does just draws me further and further away.
Yeah, he's pretty offensive, period. I think you hit the nail on the head with saying when he got with a Kardashian, it's kind of what did it. They are kings and queens of, being offensive, saying something really out there and getting the attention of people. And if they're not in the, you know, in the headlines, all of a sudden they're doing something to get back there. And it's usually not anything that's on the up and up or good, especially with, Kim going this week to the White House. She's trying to do something really great. And helping somebody, and the media is just trashing her. And in this week is going with Kanye and Kim, which you cannot say that her being there now doesn't have anything to do with album sales that he's trying to like pump for tomorrow. Like,
well, especially with the recent stuff of Kanye West supporting Trump's statements,
right.
It just seems to tie in, and it all falls into like that reality TV world drama,
right?
And I just don't think it has a place in his music, and I think he was better off without it in the music.
I definitely do too. I also think that it's just all of it is a promotions ploy, and it's kind of like I get why they do it. Kind of, I mean, if you want to sell a couple million like in 30 minutes or something like that. But I still think that it's like weird that the Kardashian / Kanye, you know, empire seems to have the entire universe by like little marionette, you know, marionette strings. It's very, very odd.
You know, we bring up the fact of, and it's funny how the two tie in together, especially with, you know, with being on the, you know, having the affiliation with the song, but we talk about Christina Aguilera not needing to sell herself sexually anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at Kanye West and, you know, he went from this almost this rap icon and, you know, he producing for Jay-Z and working with Drake and everyone else and really having some monumental classic songs early on in his career. And then to just kind of verge off onto this downward spiral he's on now. I just don't see it getting any better.
I don't either. I find it like he had that horrible meltdown and, you know, mental illness is a real thing. And for him to have it in such a public forum had to be devastating. But it seems to me that he really hasn't recovered since then. He just kind of embraced the crazy, if that makes sense. I'm not calling him crazy, but just embraced the crazy of the media and how everyone all of a sudden everything in the media shifted when it came to him. There was less positive. It wasn't Yeezy is God. Now it was like, oh God, what is Yeezy doing? So, and I don't think that that shift has come back yet. I think that that shift has basically, the ship has sailed and everyone kind of expects him to do crazy stuff. And in that turn, he did that horrible song that is his first single.
Which I haven't even listened to after I saw like some of the lyrical content towards it. I didn't even want to put myself through it.
Yeah, it's basically poop. And it, the thing is basically poop. And all he does is talk about you know, poop de whoop, whoop de poop, poop, poop. Like, seriously, are we at that day and age that that is a lyrical genius? Like, that is lyrical content, and we're calling this extreme art, and we just don't understand him. I get that from some of his fans. You just don't understand him. He's on a different plane. It's like,
yeah, suddenly he's the Picasso of rap.
Yeah, well, he sounds like he's following his cat around trying to get it to go to the bathroom and clean it up. Like, I don't understand.
It's so true.
So the thing that he's doing right now today to promote his album that is coming out tomorrow, well, actually today is this drops. I keep doing that. This is coming out on Friday. So what he did with press yesterday is he flew a ton of press out to his Wyoming retreat for a listening party. Now, he's been going around talking about how radio is kind of dying. There's not enough radio spots for any of the new artists, with even his art and any of his stuff getting played on the radio, which I wonder why. but yeah, so he flew out all of these, all this press to his Wyoming retreat to have an exclusive party. He took their phones, so it was kind of like a media blackout. And also, most of the people that were in attendance, as everyone on Twitter is talking about, are radio people. It's not, you know, it's not a lot of photojournalists, it's radio people. So I think it's important that he kind of gets where he knows how to promote himself. He knows what's lacking and how to fix it. I just wish he would fix everything else about him.
he's also, you know, you got to look at it too. He's also a guy who, He has embraced paparazzi as of late, and he's kind of shut out the music media.
Right.
And I think that's part of the problem. And, you know, we talk about the Kardashians and we talk about his relationship. And on one hand, I get everyone bashes the Kardashians. And I personally myself am not a fan.
Mm-hmm.
But I do also kind of acknowledge that weird obsessive spotlight that they're in,
right?
And how it's got to be kind of hard to just function as an everyday human being when you're constantly stuck in that kind of groove.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, that's one of the things with Kanye is, you know, I think he's going to continue to be over the top. And honestly, I think the more he does it, and I think this album, depending on what the rest of the album sounds like, I think you could start seeing the beginning of the end for him.
Yeah, I thought the beginning of the end was last time, so we'll see. We'll see on that one, right?
You never know in this crazy music world.
Right, and speaking of beginnings, we have another segment that I wanted to talk about just for like a second. Jeff Goldblum, who everybody knows from Jurassic Park and Independence Day and every other probably big movie on the planet, he is actually going to, like, come into the music world. He decided to sign a deal with Decca to drop some type of Jurassic jazz album. Because again, you know, one of the big ones he's in is Jurassic Park. I think that it could be a neat type of, he seems to have this aura about him. Have you seen any interviews about him that people like when they get around him, like he has this smell that just makes you fall in love with him?
I haven't watched anything recently, but I'm a fan of the guy. I do feel like he has this good presence to him.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could be a good, you know, breath of fresh air to the music industry, personally.
I do, too. I don't hear enough on jazz. I really don't. I mean, in the mainstream, at least, and with his influence, you know, with him being who he is, I think it will draw it more into the mainstream. So maybe he'll influence people to get back into that world. Not to say that there's not a huge, you know, demographic that love that, but there's also a lot of people that I think just glaze over it, like, oh, that's my parents' type of music or something like that. It's gonna be early next year that it should be coming out, and I'm pretty excited to see it. So I think we'll jump back and forth on that one, and we'll just keep everyone abreast when that comes out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, what else is coming up that's kind of cool? Oh, you mentioned something about Hailstorm when I was talking to you a little bit early. What's going on with them?
So Hailstorm surprised everybody recently. They had this Sony Music Q&A set up. It's like a private special event in New York City. It was for select fans and industry people. And, you know, there were rumors swirling that Hailstorm was going to release an album this year, but everyone thought it was going to be the fall. So the other day they announced that they are going to be putting out an album in July titled Vicious. and they released the first single for it, and it's very much Hailstorm. I don't want to use the word poppy, but it has a poppy undertone for, you know, for metal music. But that's going to be coming out, and I'm really looking forward to that, because Lizzie Hale and Hailstorm don't really, I haven't heard anything I haven't liked from them.
Right. They just, they're one of the people too that translate really well to an album, but there's nothing that compares to their live show.
Their like, live show's fantastic.
Yeah, like I can talk to people for days and just try to describe who they are, and at the end of the day I just say, please just go see them live.
Yeah.
Like you, I will never be able to tell you what they're like. Please go see them live.
They're one of the few bands out that like really transcends the energy of the music, both on album and live.
Right. Right. Speaking of transcends, the Gorillaz have a new, oh goodness, they have a new arena tour that they're going to do. I was a little caught off guard to even hear that they had anything going on at the moment. Have you heard much about them lately?
So I looked more into after the arena tour was announced, and they're actually putting out an album by the same name called The Now Now. I don't know what it means, but it's like, you know, typical Gorilla fashion to be having a mystery behind it.
But
right. You know, nobody saw this coming. This wasn't, you know, nobody expected it. Nobody was waiting for it, really. And they came out of nowhere, and they came out of nowhere really quickly.
It's really weird, too. I mean, in what we do, I always get like a text message or an email or a smoke signal from somewhere of like, hey, have you heard that this is going to be happening? Hey, I have a little scoop on this. There was nothing on the wire for this one. This one really came out of left field. And I like to be prepared when it comes to stuff like this, because, you know, with Shutter 16 magazine that, you know, we all are involved in, I will get an onslaught of emails. I'm like, I want to cover that show. Make sure we cover the show, et cetera. Nothing. There was nothing that came out about this. So when I opened up my email, I was pleasantly surprised, but I was like, really like, whoa, where the heck did this come from?
Well, there's been like a wide array of just, you know, mass surprise album releases and tours announced lately. And, you know, you mentioned like we usually get wind of it. You know, I look back to the Jay-Z and Beyonce tour. We were talking back and forth, and that was rumored for weeks. You know, like cities were leaking and, you know, everyone was messaging and emailing back and forth. And then you get the stuff lately with, you know, J. Cole dropping his album and now the Gorillaz doing the tour. And even Florence and the Machine was a surprise.
Yeah, that was another one that I was just like, why haven't we heard about that forever? I'm really excited about that one. I talked about earlier in this podcast, actually, when I was saying new tours that were announced and stuff like that. And I said, I'm going to be the one front and center with the camera in my face, hopefully. but I was still on that high of like, ooh, I got that press release. This is going to be awesome. Like, cause it was so new and I wasn't even expecting it. And again, in this industry, it's really hard to keep secrets. I think that's why Kanye did what he did just now with his listening party. He collected all the phones, you know, and more and more are doing that. So we'll see how that kind of thing goes, because they're starting to do that at concerts, and I don't know how I feel about that yet.
Yeah, you know, the concert thing becomes a little like, there's almost like an anxiety behind it, especially for us, because, you know, wanting to bring that coverage to everyone, it becomes really nerve-wracking when you find that last minute. The CD stuff I really enjoy because it brings kind of like a new fun to the equation. So I look forward to seeing. I'm thinking 2018 could even be crazier than what we thought before.
Yeah, 2018 has been probably the craziest tour announcements onslaught that I have ever dealt with in the 20 years that I've done this. It's the busiest season that I've seen yet, and I don't know if that's a good thing or if that's a bad thing, because eventually fans run out of money.
I'm shocked at the amount of huge tours coming around and the amount of fans I'm seeing online that are going to them.
Yeah. So hopefully it's a good thing, but we'll have to check back in on that one in, you know, in a little bit, maybe after the season's done, and see how the numbers add up, because I'm sure there'll be some press releases and stuff, especially from Live Nation. They're pretty good about that. I'm trying to think of another thing that I wanted to talk about. Oh yeah. So controversy. NoFX yesterday, which actually will be 2 days from now when this comes out, were pretty much the biggest dicks on the face of the earth.
Yeah, this definitely wins the award for the most tasteless concert happening of the week and maybe the year.
Yeah, maybe the year. And since we discussed when we were about to talk about it on the podcast, they have formally given an apology too, which is probably the least punk rock thing you could do. People are...
It's not only yeah. the least punk rock that you could do, but it all forced. Because now yes. it's like, oh, you made a stupid decision, you're getting the heat for it, and now you're going to take it back.
Right. Like, please. So maybe we should actually read the people. If anybody is living under a rock and hasn't heard what happened with this, because when it broke almost the internet. Apparently, NoFX was on stage in Las Vegas on top of this and referenced the Las Vegas shooting and said, at least they were country fans and not punk rock fans. So... Everyone, of course, people in the crowd were leaving. The person who was holding the event actually wrote a formal apology. Then Stone Brewing Company, who is the one who manufactures NoFX beer and sponsors their music festival, cut all ties with the band. And then after that, let me see. I have to go through all my Twitter fun. Huh. All right. So then... The Punk Rock Bowling, who is the festival. So this is what they said in reference to what happened with NoFX. In light of NoFX comments during their performance at Punk Rock Bowling and Music Festival, we would like to offer a formal apology to those in attendance in the city of Las Vegas, the victims and the families of 10-1. Las Vegas is home to the Punk Rock Bowling and Music Festival, and we do not condone the statements made from our stage on Sunday night. We take the safety of our festival goers seriously and want to relay that there is nothing funny about people being shot or murdered ever. And then after that, of course, NoFX came in and said, all right, and it's very short. I can't sleep. No one in my band can. What we said in Vegas was shitty and insensitive, and we are all embarrassed by our remarks. So we decided we will all get together to discuss and write an in-depth, sincere, and honest apology because that's what the people we offended and hurt deserve. And then that's all we've heard. So there's been no formal apology yet. And like you're saying, I honestly, at this point, it's not that I don't care about the people that any of this happened to, that's horrible and tragedy, but I don't care to hear their apology. I think that you know, if you're going to make a statement like that, you either need to stand by it or just shut the heck up. And I can't imagine in a world where a statement like that would be okay by anyone pretty much ever.
No, and I feel like as a band that's been around as long as they have and a band that's considered legends in the punk rock world, I think it was completely irresponsible and just completely disrespectful to even do it. And I don't think an apology is even... You know, you can't take back those words and you can't take back the feelings that those families and friends of friends feel towards what happened.
Yeah, because I guarantee someone in that crowd was close enough to somebody that that was affected by it. I mean, everyone in Las Vegas was affected by it, but I guarantee that there was someone in that crowd that was, like, closely affected by it.
Well, and even we know from being out in the field that, you know, a lot of these venue staff and security, and they all work multiple places. Who knows right. how many were there, how many, you know, it's just a really irresponsible and sad thing that they felt the need to have to do that, at the stage that they're at.
On top, yeah, and I think that it offended me overall, but where they were at and did that offended me the most.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been right to do it anywhere.
Anywhere.
But, you know, it's like coming to New York City and putting on a show and talking about 9/11. It's just kind of like an unwritten rule. You don't do it. And they crossed the line. And unfortunately, you know, when you cross a line like that, that hit people that hard in life, I don't think you could really come back from it.
I don't really either. And you would think with how long of a career they have, they've been around the block once or twice. They know what they're doing. They know how to poke the bear again, we're talking into promotions. Like, it makes them relevant again, even though they were never not all the way relevant. I mean, there are no effects. Come on
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
but,
they're never not
you know,
relevant, but...
Right, but it gets you back in the forefront. But I don't think that would be the type of forefront that I would want
to
be in.
Not at all. To me, that's the people burning your CDs and throwing your CDs out kind of forefront.
Right?
That's not where I want to be.
Well, I would think that the next one, which I'm just going to glaze over because it still really gets to me. We have a big piece coming up eventually on all the different craziness that has happened around these type of events, but I wouldn't want to be in the limelight right now how Brockhampton is.
Oh.
You know, yes. The Me Too movement has been a huge movement. People have all been coming out about it. And again, we're just going to glaze over this because we don't want to, you know, shift one way or another. But, you know, now Brockhampton has fired said person who has all these assault, what do I want to call it?
Allegations?
Allegations. There you go. Assault allegations on it, and they canceled the rest of their tour. You know, we were set to cover them when they came here. So it's a little bit on that weird side, too, of like, wow, we might have been supporting someone that might have been doing something wrong, too. So that's a whole other crazy side to this business, I would say.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like any industry. There's dark parts. And we're just, you know, we're seeing a lot of the dark parts of the music industry and the film industry come to light.
Right. Lately, it has just been insane. But insane would be another way to describe a different, more positive thing that happened today when we were following along with the 1975. So I'm just going to crown them PR gods of the year.
I have to agree. That was amazing.
Yes. So to anybody who doesn't know, either you're just not a 1975 fan at all in any way, shape, or form of that genre, or you had the flu today and haven't been online, I don't know, but they were everywhere. They were on YouTube, they were on Twitter, they were on Facebook, they were in our email boxes. Even though their PR emails were very not telling of anything, it was just, there's a new single coming out, here's a link to a video one time. The next time was like, oh, the new single is now out. And then the next one was like, here's the name of the new album. Like it went into segments, but it had these numbers at the bottoms of the email that we still have no idea how to decipher.
We have no clue what any of this still means. And
yeah. And if you know what they do, please leave a comment and let us know, or, you know, email in info@shutter16.com. Any clue?
Yeah, it was, it was like the most hair-pulling, exhilarating PR campaign I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm interested to ask you is, how did you feel about the overall product at the end of the tunnel?
I have to be honest, I was a little disappointed. I was disappointed that it was a video and not the album.
I'm really glad you said that, because I was thinking to myself how much flack I was going to catch for it, but it just, after the whole, I think the PR stunt was actually more impressive than the result.
Right. And not to say that, you know, that a video isn't great. I know it takes time and artistry and, you know, a good song and all that. But the build up was so, like, I was, like, so engaged the whole time. I kept clicking back to see what was going on. And I'm like, well, it can't be a video because it's already out on the Spotify, you know, the Spotify channel, and because, you know, they have the new stuff on Spotify that it's video too. It's not just songs. Yeah, that you can, you know, that you can get a subscription to. So I was thinking, oh, well, maybe they're pumping that, and that's why the video is there too. So maybe that they had some, you know, bond that they were doing some contract. And then no, at the end of the day, they just didn't really think that a lot of people were looking at the Spotify video. And they put out the video at the end of it. And they didn't even do it on the link that you want to. That was like 4 hours and 58 minutes and 33 seconds.
It came completely over the head.
Right? And then all of a sudden, like, it went to zero. And then everyone's like, where is it? Where is it? And you had to click another link to get into it. So the people on YouTube that were watching this whole thing, and some people were there from the very beginning. Like, they were typing the whole time and just could not wait to see what this was. And then they went over to the video, and then half the people did not receive the video well. Like, a lot of people are calling it, like, a Joy Division. I think that's the band they were talking about. A Joy Division, like, ripoff. And I'm like, oh
Well, you know, I have
no.
to say, when I initially watched the video, it took me a minute to notice if it was actually the guys or not, because they look completely different.
Which, that's not a bad thing. I'll say I like diversity in a band. I like when they have a new sound. The thing that I'm excited about now, because again, it was anticlimactic a little bit because I was expecting an album, because that, again, as we were talking about buzzes that we hear all over, the big buzz was they had an album coming out on the first today.
Yeah.
So yeah, and all of a sudden it's like, no, it's just a
Which
video. And it's like, oh.
to be fair, it's not midnight yet.
Right. So we don't know what might happen. But they did announce that they're going to be doing two albums in 1 year. So I'm really excited about that one. But one of the albums is supposed to come out May of next year. So I have to wait an entire year for, hopefully, they're in 6 months is going to be an album. Let's hope it comes out tomorrow or tonight. But who knows?
I'm hoping for a tour. I want to catch the guys
Tour
on the
would be.
road.
I do too. I'd like to hear some of the new material personally. And I'd like to see what they're going to do for PR with the tour. Like, I'm excited now, coming from a PR standpoint. I'm excited now to see what they do next with PR.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
I think this is a small piece of a very large puzzle, and I think it's only going to get
yes.
more interesting.
Well, like we were saying when we were going over looking on Twitter, no one picked up that the new album was going to called A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships, and they let that little trinket go. What did you say? It was like May 4th or May 5th
Yeah, they've
that
been for
they're.
pretty much all of May. They've actually been giving the album title, and they've even been given the song title, and nobody has actually caught on to it.
Right. So it's all these little things. I want to know what those numbers mean. I want to know, maybe it's toured dates that they're letting off, maybe it's some type of single, or who knows? It could
We
be.
spoke briefly too about how it seems that like the poster things that they're posting for on Twitter and on Facebook, there's like really cool social messages involved. So I want to see the whole picture.
I do picture. Good one. So if anybody is listening to this, you should definitely go to their Twitter page and just scroll down through May. They're kind of like they're semi under the cuff attacking Getty and stock photos and other places, which the guys have always been really big. If you shoot their show, some of the tours, they have different themes. Like we did one of the tours, you could only shoot in black and white. Nothing in color was allowed to go on the internet in your portfolio or anything. It had to be completely black and white. And it really worked out well for that tour. So I got it. So they are one of those all-in type of bands that they involve their fans, they involve the press, they involve everyone in what they're doing. And it makes you wonder why, and it makes you want
Oh, for
more.
sure.
So yeah, so I'm very, very excited about that. Is there anything else that we wanted to touch base on? I think I'm gonna bring Sheila into the podcast in a little bit. She got caught up at work again. It happens. She'll be talking a little bit about Isley, and I'm sure something with 21 Pilots. I don't know what's going on with those cats lately. Anything else you want to talk about before I kind of like go into the next segment?
No, I think we covered a good amount of the fun stuff going on.
Yes. And we'll be touching base again next week. So you guys will always get, you guys will get to know Zach. Do you want to introduce yourself, by the way? Like we never went in like really
Sure.
like
My name's David Zek. I'm a photographer slash PR fun guy now.
Nice.
Yeah.
You want to catch social, you want to pump your social media. So if anybody doesn't know where to find your stuff, they can find
Sure.
it.
Well, if you look up David Zek on Facebook, you'll see a guy with majestic long hair, and that's me. And feel free to add me because apparently today a lot of people have been for some reason. I'm still trying to solve that mystery. I don't know what's
Uh-oh.
going on yet. Like, I'm secretly hoping
Did you
something went
piss someone
viral,
off?
but I don't know.
Okay.
On Instagram.
Let's hope you didn't piss
No,
anyone off.
I haven't gotten any like hate messages, so that's good. On
Okay.
Instagram, I'm SDZ underscore photo. And if you go to the Shutter 16 page on Instagram or Facebook, you'll find me there too.
Yeah, he'll be all over. You'll always see us when we're at a show. Most of the time, if it's a live feed, it's Zach. So I will check back in with you next week, and then we'll catch up from there. And everyone, just, you know, stay tuned. We'll be doing a lot of tour stuff. We'll be doing a lot of gossip. It seems to be the fun thing to do. And if there's anything you think that we should have on our podcast next week, just email us off to info@shutter16.com, and we'll be able to get back to you on that one. Leave comments below or above, wherever it is, depending on what site we're on that you're listening to us at. And then make sure to hit our social media. We have Facebook. It's Shutter16 Magazine. Our Twitter is Shutter16. Our Instagram is Shutter16 Magazine. We have a Snapchat. It's Shutter16 Mag. And is there any other social? Oh, and our website, of course, Shutter16.com. And we'll see you soon. Thanks so much. All right. All right, enough with the corny in-between segments and the bad outros, because I'm very new to podcasting. As you might be able to tell, I'm messing up words sometimes, and some segments I sound really timid and other ones I don't. Again, this is all a learning process and something that we really look forward into doing with you guys once a week. We're hoping for once a week. Things come up. Sheila got called into a job and couldn't, you know, get onto the podcast. I'll probably add her in a little bit later this week for a little extra content for this one. We do hope that you enjoyed it. You laughed a little bit. You were like, oh my God, she said, and next, like 15 times. And, you know, I'm sure a year from now, 2 years from now, I'll look back at my first podcast and be like, oh boy. But we do hope that you learned a little bit of new music, that you enjoyed it, that you're going to hit our websites, that you're going to hit our socials, that you comment. We really look forward to speaking with anybody that's a music fan. And then next week, we'll have a couple bands on for some interviews. Maybe we'll have a photojournalist on there and we'll pick their mind a little bit about being in the photo pit. We're going to be out at Slayer and Lamb of God in Reading, PA, and then we're going to be at Snug Harbor to see Sunflower Bean. Really love those guys. We might be at Rise Against out in the UK. We're definitely going to be at Friendship at the Neighborhood Theater, possibly Big Head Todd in Asheville. What else do we have coming up? We have quite a few shows coming up. We're getting ready for some more festivals. Maybe we'll touch base a little bit about Vans Warped Tour and do a little look back on all the years that we've done at Vans Warped Tour. And we might have a really cool show in the works too. You know, can't really let loose all the details yet, but it's a big one. And if we get to cover it, I'm sure everyone will want to tune into that too. So, thanks for sticking it out if you listened to it this long and just enjoying what we had to say or not. I mean, you know, good mail, hate mail, any of it, as long as you're communicating with us, we'll be communicating with you, and we look forward to seeing you in the pit. Make sure to twit from the pit, and we'll see you soon. Thanks again. See you next week. Bye.